minor.
It's the Lars.
It's
two
the
more
Lars.
Lars.
Here we are.
This is one of two of the Lars.
Am I two of two?
I'll be one of two. You'll be two of two.
Okay.
And then once we're both done,
yeah,
then Lost will be back.
Oh, excellent. So next week I'll be one of two Lars.
No, 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I'm gonna,
hey, everybody.
I'm gonna be specific on that.
What's up, Internetica?
I am Ralph. I am the first of two.
And I'm the second of two. I'm Ben. And we are the Lars. And we got to admit, it's been a while since there's been Lost. It's feeling like, I feel like, you know when Krusty gets canceled and you know, all the TV's off the air and he has to go out to that, like, that emergency broadcast bunker and he's playing with, like, a battery and a scorpion just trying to stay on the air to get ratings?
I don't remember that.
It happened.
How many times did he get canceled?
This was all TV got canceled. It was Sideshow Bob's last gleaming. Sideshow Bob tells them that they have to stop doing TV or he'll blow up a nuclear bomb.
I haven't seen that one.
It was pretty funny. So Krusty's like on the emergency broadcast channel just trying to do something, but he's got nothing in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel kind of with all the no Lost around.
Yeah, at least there's all this other TV around to soften the... I don't have a slide whistle. Where's your slide whistle? At least my nose flute.
Did you see Conan when he came back with
Outriders? Dude, I've been watching every single Conan. This is the only new TV. It's one of the shows that I watch regularly.
And it's the,
and
only.
It's the only one back.
Yeah.
But apparently 30 Rock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, tonight.
And Earl, right?
Yeah. I guess they save some.
I guess. I put some in the tank for later.
I watched The Daily Show, which seemed...
That must be odd.
A little scripted.
Uh-huh.
Like, he obviously, Jon Stewart knew what to say.
Yeah.
Really well.
But he wrote it himself,
and
probably.
But Colbert called him out on that.
Did he?
As he was shredding a script.
That's pretty funny.
And, but, the big, I don't know how much I've talked about American Gladiators on our show, but I think it's fairly well known that I am a big American Gladiators fan.
I don't think you hide it any.
And I'm pretty sure that this new American Gladiators is fucking the best.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you. I haven't seen it yet myself. I recorded it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Three things about the new American Gladiators.
Okay.
One is Titan, and that dude is totally fucking computer generated.
I thought you meant like Titan, like... to tighten something up, and I was like,
no.
"All right,
tighten up your quads if you're gonna get
if you're gonna be on American Gladiators." That's rule one.
Titan is a CG creation. He's the guy in the front of all the commercials.
Yeah,
his face looks like a fucking. It doesn't even look like a comic book character.
He's just
computer generated, like a rock band character that you would create.
Yeah.
The second is Wolf.
Wolf,
who for those of you who are fans of the Wolverines or 5150, two local.
Two of James's hockey teams
two of our
that
friends
he played
James
on.
Hockey teams.
For if any of you are fans of that local hockey team,
which
was just like in a recreation league,
yeah,
let us know.
Anaheim and Placentia. Do you remember Phil?
Yeah,
from that team.
Yeah, this guy looks like Big Red.
This dude, his name is Wolf, and he's a mix between Phil and James Hetfield from Metallica.
Nice.
And then I guess Tyler Bates from X-Men. He played Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But imagine if you weren't as cool as one of those actors or athletes and you were an American Gladiator.
So Wolf is not cool?
No, Wolf is awesome.
Oh.
But he's a low-rent Phil.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because all the Gladiators are low-rent.
Yeah.
Except for the final one I want to mention.
Number three.
Which is Crush.
So the three things you want to say about American Gladiators are Gladiators.
Yes.
Okay, Crush.
It is known in my household that
yes.
I I don't like to gloat that much or talk much about people who I find attractive in front of Stevie because I don't know, it just seems awkward to me.
No, that makes sense.
Even though it's known that she loves John Krasinski, George Clooney, the hair lip dude from Gladiator. What's that dude's name?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin, yeah. I could have segued that in our second thing.
Oh,
Joaquin.
Well.
But anyway, I don't usually get into stuff like that, but I got to tell you, this American Gladiator named Crush.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Really?
Yeah. The female gladiators aren't that great. There's one named Helga.
Helga.
Which is a name, but they put an extra G in it to make it a nickname, I guess.
To make it more of a gladiator name.
She has like the most personality.
The extra G is for gladiator.
There's one named Fury who looks like a dude.
Nice. Nice.
But it's a girl.
So it's like Tobias's type.
Yeah.
Girl Fury.
Yes. See you later, girl, Michael. But dude, if you visit MySpace in the last, I think it went up Sunday night immediately following the show.
Yeah.
I put up a picture of Crush.
And you have a crush on Crush?
And you can click on the picture of Crush to see more pictures of Crush.
Nice.
Dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't talk about it that much. So when you do choose to mention it, I know that you really believe in it.
Yeah, like our top 10 list like over a year ago of women was like weird for me because I'm sitting here at my computer typing while Stevie's listening to our show in the headphones and she's like laughing and laughing. I'm like, uh-oh, here she comes to my top 10 where I just, here they all are. Crush would be on there.
So she would have to bump someone off.
Yeah, probably.
Because that list has stayed pretty solid since then.
Yeah, probably... the girl from Crouching Tiger.
Oh, okay.
But my list is pretty solid still.
Like, yeah, you mentioned that from time to time. My list is still holding strong.
American Gladiators. And a special shout out to Dre, who's probably the number one Darmalars fan, who's a fan of Hulk Hogan.
Nice.
I'm not going to say he's the biggest Hulk Hogan fan out there, but I think as far as our listeners go,
yeah,
Dre's number one.
So he's in that Venn diagram overlap of Lars and...
Dude, Hulk Hogan, brother, is awesome on the show.
Nice.
Awesome.
I have to, like I said, I've got it recorded. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Dude, yelling at the TV, fun.
I just can't, you know.
And laughing at the TV, it's fun.
Nice. So, I'm going to wait till like Friday, Saturday, you know, have a couple drinks, sit back, watch some American Gladiators, get a crowd together. You know, that sounds like fun.
Can I come over?
Yes.
I'll watch them again.
I'll let you know. Yeah,
I know Kim and T-Dot said she watched the premiere twice. That's a 2-hour premiere.
And she watched it two times.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gladiating.
4 hours of gladiating. And then there's the Monday show, it's normally on Mondays.
Okay, so.
So there's 3 hours of gladiators waiting for you.
Okay.
Make sure you don't delete it by Friday, which is 2 days.
Why is that? Oh.
Sure it doesn't delete.
Nothing's going to delete it because there's no TV recording right now.
Awesome.
Yay, awesome.
Since there's no TV.
We do actually go to the movies a lot.
Do you want to talk about the movies?
I'd love to.
All right. Hang up the chick carrot, hang it up, daddy, or you'll be alone in a quick. Hang up the chick carrot, hang it up, daddy, or you'll never get. See, Joaquin Phoenix would be a good segue to Joaquin Hard.
Yes.
Do you want to do that one first? Do you want to...
let's end on that one. Let me do all my solos, and then we'll end on that one.
Let's give ourselves
something to go out on.
No, we're a rating.
Oh, a rating seal? Well, let's base it off Walk Hard.
Okay, we'll do Blankets On or Blankets Off.
Nice.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
I like that. Penis in Frame or Not
or Not in Frame.
Let's do Blankets Off or Blankets Off. Blankets On or Off.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, yeah.
Walk Hard or Walk Away. Let's do that one. That's
better. That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah, Walk Hard or Walk Away. Okay, so I'm just going to go through.
This stuff up ahead of time, by the way, if you haven't noticed.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm going to go through a couple of ones that I saw by myself, or not by myself, but without Ralph.
Yeah.
I saw Sweeney Todd, which I was really anticipating, and it hit on everything that I wanted it to do.
Were you a fan of the stage play?
I've been a fan of that show my entire life. My parents have had the tape when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. In fact, they said it was really disturbing to see like a little 5-year-old kid running around saying City on Fire, which is one of the lines from
the
show.
The only frame of reference I have for Sweeney Todd is Jersey Girl.
Do they talk about it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She performs it.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's the place she wants to perform.
That's right.
So you're like Jersey Girl.
I am a lot like Jersey Girl. Yeah.
That's a good movie. I'll fucking say that right here. Anyone want to bag on that, go ahead. But you should watch it first.
It took me a while to see it for some reason. But when I did see it, I liked it. Yeah,
yeah, it's Kevin Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Sweeney Todd was, you know, I was anticipating it, and it was exactly what I wanted it to be. Art direction, acting, mm-hmm. music, performances. Alan Rickman is great, as usual. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter. Everyone did a great job.
Did it bother you that Johnny Depp seemed younger than the character, quote, supposed to be, end quote?
Kind of, but it's so over the top, like fantasy, like cartoony.
How old is the character supposed to be, like?
Well, the idea is he had a daughter who was like a one, and he's been away for like 15 years. Mm-hmm. So, say 35. This is London. Like, you don't wait around for a long time. This is like turn of the 1800s, Industrial Revolution, London. You don't wait around forever before having a kid. So, I'd say mid to late 30s, maybe.
Oh, and Johnny Depp's 47.
Yeah. He's been played by older dudes, but I think Johnny Depp pulled it off just fine.
Uh-huh. He just looks young.
He just looks young. He's got a very smooth face. But the makeup did all right. And, you know, the makeup contrast between his character and then the flashback character helped a lot.
Uh-huh. And he has white makeup on, so it looks almost theatrical. Because the movie's, like, I'm assuming, theatrical in nature.
It is. It's kind of cartoony, you know?
So
it's over the top. It's very high. So Bonham Carter?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen was great, you know? What the character, the way I remember it was, and you know what, I'm not going to give that away because that's kind of a spoil, but he did a good job. He was very well put together. Good phrasing.
A little racist? Was there?
What's that?
Is there a little racist? He's like Italian, right?
He's an Italian caricature, but it's not any more racist than any other Italian caricature. Like, it's not he's about as bad as Mario. It's a me!
Okay,
I'm gonna win.
Because I could just imagine, like, seeing Bruno and Borat and Ali G.
But the character had been like that before he came to it, and he just kept it the way it was. I mean, it's way over the top, but it's more like this guy, this particular dude, is over the top and like a street con man and a showman. It's not saying Italians are like this. Just this dude is like this, you know. Singing was great. It was interesting to get used to Johnny Depp because I'm familiar with the role being played by someone with a deeper voice.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know all the terms, but I would say like a baritone. And Johnny Depp, I think, is like a tenor.
Okay.
So that was interesting. And I have read in articles where Helena Bonham Carter mentions that she was pregnant during the filming.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually see her breasts increase and decrease in size as like, you know how Dorothy's pigtails do in The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Like that, but with boobs.
That's cool.
It is kind of cool.
Or disappointing.
When they're bigger. So I really enjoyed it, but I like musicals. So if you like musicals, or if you're willing to try a musical.
If you like moonbeams, but you don't like tacos.
If you're willing to try a musical, if you're willing to give it a shot, then I would say see it.
It's the first Tim Burton movie that I have not seen in the theater since Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was the last Tim Burton movie I did not see in a theater.
Wow.
So
not like musicals.
Yeah, there's only three movies. And I haven't seen a movie since Darjeeling, so like it was just one of those things where other movies I would have seen before that.
You had a lot more on your plate.
Yeah. Before I saw the musical.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, also if you know you don't like musicals, then don't see it. Like, don't go into a movie in a deficit.
Yeah.
It's not gonna help. It's not gonna not be a musical. You know?
Stevie wants to see it. If she goes and sees it, then I might go. I'll probably go with her.
Let me know, because I would go again.
Well, actually, yeah.
Oh, you guys were going to make out?
No. that means I'd have to go see it.
Oh.
If she didn't see it, she said she would just buy it.
I'll probably end up buying it.
On Blu-ray, and then watch it.
Yeah.
So
I would say walk hard.
To the theater.
Walk hard to the theater and see Sweeney Todd, but take into account, well, you know what it is.
Yeah. And it's like a bloodbath, right?
There's it's like Evil Dead 2.
I like that movie.
You know, blood running down the screen.
So let's get to another movie that I did not get to see, but want to see, and that is?
Well, actually, the transition I was going to make there is you were talking about
Bloodbath?
But yeah, I went and saw Bloodbath. No, you were talking about how there was other movies on your list that you would see first before you saw Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
There were many movies on my list that I wanted to see before this one, but Dylan was going, and I said, okay, I'll go with you.
Yeah, you just one of those things where you just jump in the car.
Yeah, exactly. He went and, we went and saw No Country for Old Men. Now, I love the Coen brothers.
Yes.
I say, but I haven't seen like half of their movies.
Well, you can't see Barton Fink just yet.
No.
I have to be present you have to be for there. That viewing.
Yeah, if you're out there and you haven't seen Barton Fink, have a friend turn on the DVD for you because apparently the menu is a big spoiler.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say if you were to put in The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And the menu was, hey, everybody.
Turns out I'm dead.
Yeah. That's what.
That is that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Oh,
I'll show you. You'll watch the movie.
And then I'll see the menu.
Then you'll see the menu.
Yeah. But, you know, I haven't seen Barton Fink. I haven't seen, you know, Blood Simple, Mariner's Crossing. I didn't go see the Billy Bob Thornton one. Like, there's been gaps in my Coen brothers, but I really like it. So I was glad that I went and saw it. This movie was really well done. The acting was outstanding. The pacing was slow, but in a really, like, intelligent, cool kind of way. Just thoughtful, entertaining, and then the ending happened.
Yep.
And I don't know, I don't want to give too much away, because that's kind of my policy, but there is a very abrupt, anticlimactic, non-plot-style ending to this movie. And it can be a deal-breaker for stupid people.
Yeah.
So, to me, I had to sit there and decide if the ending had ruined the film for me. And it didn't, because it was really good, but it was very disappointing, and it was kind of a close call. So, you know, this would be one I would say rent. There's nothing about the big screen that you need to watch this one. You know, it's not giant ship battles or rolling countrysides. I mean, there are some. It is well put together cinematographically, but cinematographically.
I like that first word you did.
Cinematographically. but I would see it if you can. I would see it like I would rent it.
Yeah.
So I would say walk soft to your mailbox and get it from Netflix.
I still need to see it. Sorry, I was just checking.
No, no worries. And then last night I saw Juno.
Oh, that's right. Another movie I want to see but haven't.
Yeah, it
stars from the director of Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jason Reitman.
Is he related?
Yes, son. I believe.
Good for him.
Yeah, I want him to do Ghostbusters 3 with all new cast.
That'd
my
be awesome.
Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, especially if they follow your advice.
Yes. I'm sure they'll give me a call before they greenlight Ghostbusters 3.
Now that Ghostbusters 3 is in the works, let's call Ralph and see what he thinks.
Okay.
So Michael Cera and Ellen Page. She seems like a newcomer.
She was in Hard Candy, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's in my cue.
Yeah. And Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman, yeah.
So those of you
Jennifer
guys
Garner.
And big fans of Arrested Development.
Yeah, although they don't have any scenes together.
Mm. That's weird.
Yeah, it's just the characters.
Oh, they have the radio spots together, so that's good.
Do they really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
J. Jonah Jameson's in it.
J. Jonah Jameson is
J.K. Simmons,
awesome.
I think is his name. What'd you think? How'd it go?
I really liked it.
Is it cute?
It's cute. That's like the only word you can use. Well, it's not the only word, but you have to use it.
Wouldn't say like that movie's fucking hilarious.
Not say it was fucking hilarious.
It's cute.
It is cute. It's cute, but I'm not denigrating it by saying that.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies where the characters speak in such awesome dialogue, like that. You know, I would never be able to speak that cool unless if I scripted out everything I was going to say before the day.
Yeah.
You know, with slang and you know, cool analogies and stuff, and it was like, wow, good job, guys. You're all pretty sweet. It's about a girl who gets knocked up, and she's 16, and about what happens to her afterwards. And that's not giving anything away, because that's pretty much, you know, the log line.
Yeah.
It's like on the poster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that one, definitely walk hard to the movie theater with a girl.
I'll do that. I'll keep that in mind.
When we saw it last night, we were trying to determine if the people in front of us were three dudes or like two dudes and a girl. And Harmony was like, I don't know if any three dudes would go see this movie together. Like, yeah, maybe me, Matt, and Jane? No, probably not.
Nah, you might.
Maybe.
I don't know. We all like the same movies. I mean, we could go see movies together.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't all have to be Transformers.
Just because there's kissing on screen doesn't mean I have to kiss.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this much. We've been in this situation. Yeah, I'll tell you this much. I want to kiss Matt right now.
Yeah, I'm afraid to ask or find out what you're talking about.
Remember when we went and saw Lara Croft, Tomb Raider?
Jesus Christ, do I remember that. Yes.
That was the worst batch of trailers we ever got, Ralph and I.
Yes.
It makes you nervous for the film you're about to see when you get a batch of shitty trailers.
Yeah.
And last night, it was romantic comedy up the wazoo.
Fool's Gold?
Fool's Gold was
Fuck
there.
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold was
Fuck
there. That one
butt.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Sure.
There's some coming out with Ryan Reynolds.
Where he's a fat waiter. Right?
No, it's a... that'd be great. Just, I'd see that.
Just Waiting.
I would totally see that. Just Friends was funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How about Waiting?
I haven't seen it yet. It's in my queue.
All right. Let me know how that turns out.
Like 438 other movies.
You're crazy.
My queue sucks. Because it doesn't show up at my house quickly enough.
Start getting Blu-rays.
I will. Whenever
it'll automatically convert it once you let it know.
Oh, really?
So if you have Just Kidding or whatever you're watching. Yeah, Just Kidding.
Yeah.
in your queue and you say, oh, I have Blu-ray,
yeah.
It'll automatically go in your queue and adjust it.
Okay, I could do that because I have some of them set up for HD now because Matt has the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say Just Kidding when we're talking about Netflix because I literally searched for Just Kidding on Netflix yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Was it on there?
It was not on there.
Boo.
I just want to see some pranks.
Boo. I want to see a naked chick dancing in front of a cow.
Exactly. I would like to see some naked pranks. Is that too much to ask?
Just kidding.
Just kidding. So walk hard. Go see Juno. Now we can talk together about a movie at long last.
I don't even want to talk that much about it because if you're going to go see it, you're going to go see
it.
Well,
then you shut up and I'll talk about
and
it. All right, listen,
I don't want
guys.
To give away jokes because, you know, I saw it a week after everyone I know and everybody loved talking about the movie before I saw it.
Did we like bust out the jokes?
Yes, lots of them.
I did that. I've done that a lot in front of Ryan, and Ryan will just keep saying, I haven't seen the movie yet. And I'm like, well, you know, go fuck yourself because we asked you if you wanted to go and you were busy, so...
You guys asked me.
We did, but you were busy.
Like a minute before you were leaving the house, and I was.
I asked
my
you
in-laws
as I
on
had a
Christmas
bite of
Day
in my hand, and was, the last trailer was ending.
It was like Christmas Day or something. Right. It was like Christmas morning. We're going to see Walk Hard in a minute.
It was Christmas.
Starts in 20 seconds.
Your mom had just called me and told me that she was putting like Christmas dinner on the table right then, and I had popcorn in my mouth, and I was like, "Wait a minute, hey Ralph, do you want to see a movie that starts in 2 seconds?"
There's a drill bit.
Go, so go fuck yourself.
But yeah, I was like, God, just.
It was a good day for me to go see a movie, and it was the movie I wanted to see.
Yeah.
So.
But I ended up seeing it, and it was hilarious.
It was very funny. John C. Reilly plays a musician, and it's kind of like his entire life story, much along the line of Ring of Fire.
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Ray.
And Ray, exactly.
I love the part when he says, but you're white. Because it's the flip-flop of Ray.
Yeah.
Where they don't want him on stage because he's black or they're concerned.
Exactly.
I'm just going to say one of the main problems with not seeing a movie with all your friends the time they all go see it.
Yeah.
Is
you find out no one loves you.
Now, individually, for the last week, each individual is asking me, what'd you think of Walk Hard?
Yeah.
It's like, do I have to explain myself?
Yeah. If,
5 different times
if
to everyone
together,
who saw it without me?
You could have been there outside after the movie saying,
I loved
that.
It. And everybody gets to hear that.
And we could all just shut up about it.
But now it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And now you have to say it again on the internet.
I know. That's why I'm not like fired up to talk about it, even though the movie is outstanding.
Fucking hilarious.
And I told Ben before we started, this is hands down my favorite movie of the year. Of 2008.
You know what? My favorite movie of the year is Juno. Because I saw
2008.
Of 2008. Yeah. My favorite year of 2008 is Juno. It was so funny. You know, his backup band is Chris Parnell, Matt Besser, and Tim Meadows.
Yeah. And Matt Besser, who is the one UCB guy that never shows up in anything.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see him. Ian Roberts is in the movie.
Ian Roberts is
barely in the movie.
I smelled deleted scene.
Yeah.
Actually, someone told me that they reckon there's probably a whole other disc worth of deleted scenes.
Kind of like Anchorman?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because you know those guys like to just leave the camera rolling.
Yeah.
Say different
Because there's obviously stuff that was deleted in the when he's kind of has a montage flashback at the end of the movie about his whole life.
Yeah.
And there's obviously things that are not
that we didn't see all
story wise in, you know, just yeah. weird things.
And there was stuff in the trailers and stuff, commercials that weren't in the movie.
Yeah.
Jenna Fisher, huh?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I said yeah.
Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Totally hot. Mm-hmm. So if you like yourself some Pam from The Office.
I don't like when she's like all dolled up though.
Okay.
I saw like the 25 scariest moments in movies on Bravo or whatever. Uh-huh. She had her hair all up and stuff. I don't like that. I prefer Pam when she got together with Jim. Like, her hair isn't stringy curly. It's, like, just normal wavy.
Okay.
And she dresses nicer.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know what it is about her being, like, dressed all up, like, slutty that I, like, in Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I think she's hotter, more plain, if that makes any sense.
No, I can see that. Like, so, there's a scene at the end where she shows up in old makeup.
Totally smoking hot.
Totally smoking hot because she's not slutted out.
Yeah.
Also, she's wearing a really low-cut shirt. What?
Huh? You know what I mean.
And yes, there was a full-on penis on the screen. And Ryan reacted to me like that was a spoiler when I mentioned that when he was around.
Oh.
It's not the plot.
Yeah, but...
Wouldn't you rather know?
Wouldn't you rather know ahead of time? No, because no. You lose the impact of the joke.
Okay, well, that was a spoiler, everyone. There might not be any penises.
Like, when I'm watching the movie, I'm like, oh, hey, there's the part where James and Matt have been saying, fuck you, monkey, for the past week.
Yeah.
And it's like, so here's the monkey. I'm like, oh, this must be the part where he says, fuck you, monkey. And then he tells the monkey to fuck you.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
It's one of those things where it's like, for you guys, that was hilarious. And it obviously struck a chord with you.
Right.
But now it doesn't strike a chord with me
because of
stuff that is said.
No. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah, I mean, and also the idea of, like, anticipating it, like, oh, when's it going to happen?
Yeah, because you remember the highlights you remember are the ones you quote the most because they're the most memorable.
Yeah.
But now they've already been,
that's too bad.
So, I mean, anytime you guys would talk about Walk Hard, I mean, instead of being like Brian and say, oh, you know, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I would tune out or
that's probably,
do something else.
Probably for the best.
Or say... That's probably from a TV show.
For all I know.
But.
Yeah, anyway. That movie made me laugh a lot. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was with it. I was on board with it from like the first scene. As soon as, even though it was in the trailer, as soon as Tim Meadows says before his performance, he needs to think about his entire life. As soon as that happened, I knew I was on board. And then as soon as the little brother said, or his younger brother said, you know, this is going to be the greatest day of my life or whatever. Comedic foreshadowing is always a plus with me.
Yeah.
Like Dead Meat in Hot Shots.
Exactly.
But
comedic foreshadowing. Yeah, that's.
And it's one of those things where the comedic foreshadowing only works if you know that it's comedic foreshadowing. You know it's foreshadowing. Like,
right.
You're like... That's funny because I know immediately that
something's
going to happen. And then the rest of the scene, you're like, is it going to be from the horse riding?
Yeah.
Is it going to be from the tractor?
What's
going to
happen? You're right.
And then the payoff is so great
when
it actually does happen. You know what's...
The key to comedic foreshadowing, it has to be that what they're referencing, it has happened so much in other films and TV shows that you've got an expectation about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like with Dead Meat.
It's awesome because what it does, it's the director telling you, we're not going to dumb it down to the point where we have to explain it to you.
Yeah.
Like, it was a line, and it's a line that I got, and I'm like, that's funny.
Nice.
Because this is setting up for something funny, and I totally understand. Like, it's not, it shows that the audience is smarter, that you believe that the audience is smart.
Yeah.
And then there's dumb shit in it, like sawing a couch in half.
Yes.
So.
I'm glad that John C. Reilly decided to do comedy.
I'm not going to like.
He's funny.
No, I know.
It doesn't have to be John C. Reilly. It could be anyone.
It could be Will Ferrell, which would be
very
easy.
Have been Will Ferrell in this movie.
But I was going to say the first time I ever saw John C. Reilly was in Boogie Nights. And he was fucking hilarious in that
movie.
He
was very funny in Boogie Nights.
He was a magician. He was essentially Gob.
He was always backing up Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty funny in that.
He's all, you see that movie Star Wars? Yeah, I saw that movie Star Wars. Huh? Han Solo, right? I'm going to watch
Boogie
Nights.
I just got that movie back. I'm going to watch that again.
Watch it. John C. Reilly is fucking hilarious.
It's a laugh romp.
He's not as hilarious in Magnolia.
No.
But nothing is, really.
No, Magnolia. Ooh.
And if you guys, this is a stick it in your TiVo queue. The stuff he does on Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, Great Job.
Really funny.
Is fucking outstanding.
Nice.
Steve Brule
is
his character. So anyway, walk hard, guys.
Walk
to
hard.
The movie theater and see that film.
So, no surprise, I've given a positive review to every movie.
Yeah, you like movies.
I like movies, dude.
What have you given a negative? Have we given any negative ones while
the
show's been?
No, the only time I talked about movies I didn't like was on Opposite Day.
Yeah, it's true.
I might have given a negative. I think there was something we saw that I didn't particularly care for, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Meh.
But whatever. Speaking of movies that we really like.
Why don't we get into a section where we tell you about movies that we really like?
All right. This segment of the show is called Movies That We Really Like.
Movies That We Really Like by Ben and Ralph.
So we had this promise that when we're getting back towards Lost, that we were going to get into fucked up movies that are totally fucked up that we probably shouldn't recommend to you, but we're going to anyway because we're just excited that Lost is back and you're probably not going to see him anyway.
Right.
But because I think there's only 8 weeks of Lost that we're going to... We'll still continue to play it a little more safe.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it a little closer to the vest because.
But I think next week I'm gonna do mine, which you all already know.
Yeah,
I've mentioned it like at every stick in your queue segment.
I'll pick something that I'll come up with something
that you like. I mean,
something I like
stuff
yeah,
you like,
that,
but
I don't think anyone else would.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to go first.
Yes, because I did the research and we haven't done this segment since Halloween.
Since the debacle.
the Evil Dead Young Frankenstein debacle.
As it's been known.
Go back and listen. It's awesome.
I am going to discuss a little film directed by Christopher Guest, which came out in 2000.
Let's say three.
Three?
Let's say three.
Called A Mighty Wind.
Yes.
A Mighty Wind features Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, all three members of Spinal Tap, John Michael Higgins, Jane Lynch, and the usual suspects that hang out with those Christopher Guest films. If you haven't seen any of the Christopher Guest films...
Thank you for mentioning Jane Lynch, my friend.
Dude, I like Jane Lynch.
I love Jane Lynch. She's in Walk Hard, probably. Yes, she was. She was a reporter, an interviewer.
Yes, yeah.
Very funny.
She didn't do the research. She asked him if he ever stopped to smell the roses.
I can't. You got to see the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to see this movie too.
Jane Lynch. I had to memorize her name. I did that on purpose. So yeah, it's if you haven't seen any of the Christopher Guest films, what he tends to do is mockumentary style.
Yeah.
I don't know what he tends to do. That's all that he does so far.
Yeah, it's true.
So
he's one of my Christopher Guest is one of my phlegm actors that I would see as phlegm
as Dr. Phlegm. That would be cool.
I just look at the nose.
Yeah,
you would be a good phlegm.
Thank you.
You got a phlegm nose.
I've got a phlegm nose. Well, that's for sure. so,
it's a fake documentary in the sense that the characters are not real people. They're portrayed by actors.
Right.
But far as the rest of it goes, it's unscripted. They come up with an outline. And then...
Like beats where they need to go, where each scene needs to go.
And then they follow the action.
They write music.
They follow the actors.
All of the music was written by, I want to say, Eugene Levy and his wife.
Okay.
I want to say. But it could be Christopher Guest and his wife. But all of the music was written by people in the movie.
Yeah.
And the basic concept is a guy who had been an influential producer in folk music, which in the movie is inflated to be much more important than it ever was, has recently passed on, and several of the acts that he represented are getting together to do a tribute concert for him, like on PBS.
Yes.
And the acts are Mitch and Mickey, which are Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara.
Uh-huh.
The new Main Street Singers, which is John Michael Higgins and his group, and the dudes from Spinal Tap as the Folksmen.
Yes.
And there's awesome, hilarious folk music in it.
Uh-huh.
And
the songs are cleverly written, much yes. like Walk Hard, where there's like double meanings.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And you know, because they're folk singers, you just would assume that, oh, it's clean, but if you have a dirty mind, which you should.
You should. You can get a lot of extra comedy from it.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, it's just a solid movie with a lot of funny ass jokes in it.
And Eugene Levy in the movie, very uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's like, almost like a Michael Scott situation where you laugh at it, but everything, it's very unsettling and yes. it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's like, he's a little burned out and a little too real.
Did he have a stroke or was he just so fucked up from all the drugs he did?
I don't know if they ever make it explicit. I can't remember. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I Netflixed it when
there's so many movies I want to watch now. I want to throw in Boogie Nights. I want to throw in Mighty Wind tonight.
Yeah.
Me and Stevie are in the middle watching the Alien Quadrilogy or whatever the fuck
nice.
It's called.
Nice. So go ahead. check out Mighty Wind.
I highly recommend it. I that is a double stick in your queue.
Nice.
You know who's in A Mighty Wind that you mentioned is Jane Lynch.
Yes.
Who is in The Fugitive with Harrison Ford, who is in Raiders of the Lost Ark with Denholm Elliott, who happens to be in a film called Toy Soldiers.
Well done.
Jane
Lynch was the linchpin on that one.
Jane Lynch apparently gets like one of the top credits in The Fugitive, even though she has like two scenes.
I can't even remember her in it.
She's a doctor that helps Harrison Ford look into the...
His like old friend, huh?
No, yeah, she's like an old friend that's helping him do research.
Nice.
Like his side project.
On prosthesis.
On Provasic.
Oh, on Provasic.
And the kidney failures and all that stuff.
Okay. Cool.
Toy Soldiers, not to be confused with Small Soldiers.
No.
Small Soldiers is the one where the toys shoot Phil Hartman and kill him.
Small Soldiers are the ones with the toys.
Yes.
Toy Soldiers is the one with the small boys.
Yes. Well, not small boys.
Not very small.
Denholm Elliott, who plays Marcus Brody in the indie movies, plays a professor at a prestigious, I wouldn't even say prestigious, it's like a military school for wealthy problem children.
Yes.
Children who are teenagers, who have fathers and mothers who are congressmen, congresswomen,
people in the public eye.
Guys with mafia ties.
Right.
It stars the kids in it that you would know. Keith Coogan, who you've seen in a million things. Will Wheaton, who actually signed this copy that Will I have Wheaton. Right here. And Sean Astin plays the main character. Louis Gossett Jr. is a principal of the school, or is the principal of the school. And he knows that this group of kids are trouble. But these troublemakers are the best hope for the school when terrorists come and take over the school.
What?
The kids' parents are so important that these terrorists come and try to get money out of the parents.
By doing essentially a mass kidnapping.
Yes.
Essentially.
Of these of the wealthy school. Kids. And once you know it, Louis Gossett Jr. is outside of the school, but he believes in this ragtag group of misfits to actually get information out to them and the military during the standoff. It's like Die Hard in a school with a bunch of kids who are like a bunch of John McClanes.
Yes.
And for those of you fans of Lost, the main villain in this film is none other than Eyepatchy himself, McHale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's totally the main bad guy in this movie.
That's cool.
You want me to toss this to you,
Yeah,
huh?
Toss it to me.
Highly recommend the movie. It's from 1991. It's a little cheesy, but it's actually, I think, really well done. I think you've seen it a couple times now, right?
Yeah.
At least I brought it to your attention. It's a movie that I saw, the first time I saw it on cable, I was sick from school. And it's the best movie to see. It's rated R, so it's teenage kids just like me cursing and shooting machine guns.
Yeah.
So it's almost, I think it's better than Red Dawn. It's kind of like Red Dawn, but better.
Red Dawn has like a section of the middle where it kind of lags.
Yeah.
This movie is pretty nonstop.
It's like a thriller. It's a great thriller, and it's action.
An older movie, like, well, not like a classic or whatever, but it's definitely from that time when action was a different thing.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And I mean, it's one of those things where you look at the cover and you're like, ah, whatever. You hear like the synopsis or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really engaging. Like every time I just throw it in to throw it in, it's one of those movies that I toss in and I'm like, I know I'm going to be watching this movie in like 5 minutes. If I just put it in and start watching, I know I'm going to be like totally into it. So it's a great movie. I highly recommend it.
Check it out. Put it in your queue, motherfucker.
I think John Duprez did the music for it. No, Robert Folk.
John Q. President?
No, never mind. Daniel Petrie Jr. I don't know what else he's directed, but Robert Folk did the music, and he did Kung Pao.
Oh, I like folk music.
Speaking of which. So, Toy Soldiers and Mighty Wind, two very different movies.
Quite different.
Even though I was able to connect them really quick.
With, like nonstop.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you said Jay Lynch, I'm like, fucking, she was in
you're
the
Fugitive.
You're
a huge fan of that Fugitive.
Dude.
You don't talk about that as much as any other movie that you're a fan of.
If you guys have The Office season 2 or 3, I believe, they have Do You Knows, like the NBC. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah, yeah.
Dun. Watch Jim's about The Fugitive.
Jim talks about The Fugitive?
You got to watch it. It's great.
I will.
I could. It's like 5 seconds long. But, so stick Fugitive in your queue, everyone. But also Toy Soldiers and Mighty Wind. You won't regret it. And if you do, give us a call.
Yeah. And if you do enjoy it, give us a call.
Yeah.
Or an email.
Yeah. So you ready to do this?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. That is our show, and for those of you guys who do want to give us a call about anything you hear on our show, or if you have anything on your mind, give us a call on the Dharma line at 206-334-4261.
Isn't it 338?
338-4261.
That sounds right.
Call one of those two numbers and listen for my voice.
If you hear Ralph, then you made it.
Yes. Also, you can if you feel shy about calling us, God, it's been a while. Give us an email at darmalars@gmail.com.
You can also check us out on our MySpace page, myspace.com/darmalars. That's where I put up a picture of me and the Oceanic billboard.
And today I bumped your picture because we got a new fan picture.
Nice.
Someone sent us an email at darmalars@gmail.com. And it's Matt Tastic, and he named his fantasy football team the Darmalars.
Nice.
And wouldn't you know it, they came in first.
Nice.
So that you can check that out in the Darmalarmy section. If you want to be in the Darmalarmy, send us cool pictures.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a Darmalars t-shirt, which you can get at shopsalmonate.com.
Yeah, check them out. They're pretty sweet. Big old yellow shirt, cool Darmalars logo. It's a conversation piece.
Mm-hmm. Stevie wore hers on Sunday.
Yeah, I
remember. And rocked out a rock band.
Yeah. Dude, that game's awesome.
Yeah. We'll talk about Rock Band next week.
We should.
And what else do we have?
Yep.
Oh, darmalars.net. If you don't
check out the website.
If you want a shortcut to all of those things we just mentioned, go to darmalars.net.
Yep.
And also, I just want to say a special thanks, because this is our first show since our commentary. A special thanks to Jorge Garcia for coming over to Ben's house and recording an awesome commentary for Trisha Tanaka is Dead. If you haven't checked that out, go over to the Darmal Archive. All right, darmalars.net.
Yeah, thank you, Jorge. That was outstanding, above and beyond.
Jorge. And also, I'd like to thank Jay and his aunt for also joining us. Jay, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool lady.
Yeah, she drove from Pomona just to drop him off.
She's got, like, I don't know.
Do a commentary.
Like,
I'm sure, though,
but
the incentive of Jorge being
where
she was dropping Jay off was
perhaps,
a plus.
Perhaps that was weighed in the balance.
Yeah. Shit, if someone told me to drive to Pomona because whatever,
you know,
I'd do that too.
Totally.
But
yeah, it was cool to see Jay.
Yeah, that's Jay from jayandjack.com.
Yeah.
Who Jay got to interview Michael Emerson in New York in
awesome.
Person. So.
Really cool.
Listen to their show and keep an eye out for that. But that's all I have. Watch American Gladiators.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. I'm supposed to have a movie to go out on.
Oh, no.
I
don't. I'm not supposed to.
I know. So you talk and say words.
Sure.
And keep going.
Yeah, you know, we've got one more show 2 weeks from today, and then we'll do the next show after that. It's going to be our first show of the new season 4 of Lost. The new really short season of Lost.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have it back. I'm going to be fired up. And then as time goes on, my fired up balance is going to drop in accordance to my oh shit, what's going to happen next balance.
Uh-huh.
And then the final episode, I'll be all full up of oh shit, what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and then we'll have to figure out when next is.
Yeah. It's still up in the air, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did see the Oceanic billboard, by the way.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a little bit. They're doing another alternate reality game. Mm-hmm. It's called Find 815, and apparently that was one of the clues.
Extracurricular lost stuff? I'd never do it.
Like,
the other day, I just watched, like, a bunch of those missing pieces.
The Mobisodes?
Yeah, all right, whatever.
I haven't seen those.
Well, whatever.
I haven't seen those. I haven't.
They're, like, 2 minutes each. You watch, like, 10 of them in probably, like, 5 minutes. That's the right math, right?
That sounds about right.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Did you go on the Oceanic?
You know thing? What? I'm not good at those kind of games.
See, I'm not good at anything extracurricular.
But I went and looked at the billboard and took a picture. Yeah. So
head over to MySpace. You're like in the middle of the street. Like you're going to get murdered by a car.
Yeah.
Where is that billboard, by the
it's
way?
On
people want to see it in person.
It's on the 17th off the 55. And it's
17th off the 55.
Yeah, 17th Avenue or 17th Street or whatever.
Where is that?
Like Tustin.
Okay.
Santa Ana, maybe.
All right. For those of you kids in Orange County.
Yeah, it's where everything comes together there.
Yeah.
So, okay, we went there, parked, and I had to walk. We had to, like, cross 17th to get stand on the freeway overpass to get far enough to get a good picture of it. And that's why I was in the middle of the road there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike drives the 55 all the time, apparently, and he says that it's been vandalized. Quote, end quote. It's now got another clue to the game, like vandalized on it in spray paint.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We should go find one and put darmalars.net on it.
Yes.
Get them in this direction.
Let's do that. Are you ready?
I'm totally set.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming along again on another Lars episode. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Lars de la Vista.
Take off the vest, Fogel. You look like Aladdin. See what I did? I totally have Superbad on Blu-ray.
The best.
Boy, I guess.
Hey, what's up, Sarah Lloyd? This is Jay calling out of L.A. Just wishing you and yours Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that filth, foreign filth out there. Loss is coming back, you know, early. Yeah, just wanted to say Merry Christmas. Woo! Happy New Year is all that. Later! Oh!
Hello, baby boy. And a friend. There'll be a family.
I hope it's not recording yet. I haven't heard a beep.
Come here.
Dude, seriously, I have not heard a beep yet.
I haven't heard a beep yet.
That's going to be you laughing to 80s music.
I'm like singing along pathetically to 80s music. I'm leaving them like a second message, but it's... I seriously didn't hear a beep, but if there did was a beep, this is Amy and Little Rock, and I don't know what happened last time I called like a minute ago, because it was like intermittent beeps, and I didn't know if it said anything, so I just want to tell you guys that I love you, and that I like you a lot, and you're neat. And I hope you have a nice holiday. And I like law. And that's it. And yeah. And Desmond's hot. And you're hot.
And you're drunk.
And I'm not drunk. Shut up, Eric. What are you talking about? I don't even know if it's even recording. It is recording. It says it's still active call.
Still active.
I don't know.
Poor
it's still playing the song. Isn't that song from, like, a movie? What movie is it from?
I can't hear
you. Don't know nothing.
I
you
can't
don't
hear it.
Ralph and Ben would know. They know everything.
But not hearing the song, they would know?
If they heard this song, I guarantee you they would know.
But
I'm telling you they would know.
I would
because
know
they're like they're like an encyclopedia of ridiculous knowledge of stuff. Just whatever, you know.
Let me hear the song.
What was that song? What was that song so I could tell him?
That was Put a Little Love in My Heart.
Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
It was totally 80s.
And it was like some kind of from the 80s or whatever. But I know it was in a movie, and I'm trying to think what movie I heard it from. And I'm like, it's from a movie. I'm thinking, la 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 la. So, anyways, I love you guys, and you're totally hot, and you're awesome, and I miss you guys, and I just got a text message from you, Ralph, and from, I think, yeah, I just called him from Ben, too. So, anyways, so, you guys are probably together anyways, so whatever. Be good, and don't drink and drive, and, yeah, I'm going to go now. Bye.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, this is Kansas Michael. Really liked the show on the Season 3 DVDs. You know, I always thought Stranger in a Strange Land was a rather weak episode, but I thought you made a really insightful comment in regards to the flash forward at the end of Season 3, and it really made me kind of like Stranger in a Strange Land that much better. Hey, also a little small quibble. I heard you refer to DVDs as digital video discs. As far as I know, DVD stands for digital versatile disc. So, anyway, thanks. Love the show, guys. Bye.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A. Happy New Year's to you all. I'm calling because American fucking Gladiators was great. Oh my god. I mean, 15 seconds in, you get two classic Hulk Hogan poses, you know, a couple of brothers here, all that there. Then when they're introducing all the gladiators, what's up with Wolf? Wolf and his fucking war cry. Oh, that shit was great. The rest of the show could have blown ass, and I would have had just still watched it. This is fucking awesome. This is like the first, within the first little show part, within the first like, 10 minutes of the show, a chick breaks her leg. That's what I'm talking about. What's up with that clip with the dude fell on, like, I guess the wolf threw his ass off of the pyramid, and I guess he landed on his neck? Oh, my God. This is great. This is great. You got people crying, bitching and moaning, complaining. I'm doing this for my kid that breaks her shit in 5 seconds. That's great. Yeah. Work out 5 days a week, my ass. You can't run without breaking your leg. Oh, God! This shit is great. Ah, I love this show, okay? You know, losses coming back, that's good. I don't like the Thursday thing, but hey, you know, what can you do? All right, guys, that's all I got. Good, this is Dre coming out of LA. I can't wait for a new show. American Gladiators, Wolf, War Cry, Hogan, poses. I guess if I had to bang one of the gladiator chicks, it would be. What's her name? Crush, I guess. She's the less. Testosterone looking out of all of them. Oh, God. Alright, guys, wait. Oh, that's one thing before I get the hell out of here. do that for your next verses, you know what I'm saying? Which one would you do? You know? All right, you should take some kind of poll. All right, guys, wait.
Well, coming up next week, our elimination round begins. The competition will really heat up. Until then, for Lisa Malosky and all of us here at Gladiator Arena, I'm Mike Gatley. Thanks for joining us on AG.
Am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club?